Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos, daf Kuf Mem Ches. We begin on the bottom line of Kuf Mem Zayin Mem Beis, where our Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah. We mentioned in our Mishnah, Ve'ei Machzir Nes Hasheva, one cannot reset a broken bone on Shabbos. And that the Gemara brings, however, Omer B'chona Beg to Sol Omer Shmuel, and we continue on to the top of Kuf Mem Ches and Al. Halacha, the halacha actually is Machzir Nes Hasheva, that one could return a broken bone to its proper place on Shabbos, and that is because Shmuel held that the proper girsa, the proper term that is in our Mishnah was supposed to be said, not that a Machzir, but rather Machzir that one is allowed to return it. So the Gemara brings a story related to this, that Rabbi Bar Chanan the Ikla Lepumbadisa, he once came to Pumbadisa, Loi Al Lepirkei Rabbi Yehuda, he did not come to the drasha that was being given by the Rav over there, Rabbi Yehuda. Shadri La'adu Dayola, so he sent his Shamish to go to Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Zil Garve, says, go to him and take away his garment until he comes to come to my drasha. Azil Garve went and took away his clothing. Asa, so Rabbi came to the drasha. I had no choice. Ashkechei, so he found Rabbi Yehuda, the Kedarish that was giving a lecture, and he said as follows, Ein Machzir Nes Hasheva, that one cannot replace the broken bone on Shabbos, as it says in our Mishnah. So Amalei, so he said to him, Hochi Yomer Rav Chanan Bag Disar Mashmul, the statement that we just mentioned before, Halacha Machzir Nes Hasheva, Halacha actually is that one is allowed to return the broken bone on Shabbos. So Amalei, so Rabbi responded to him, Hochana Didan, Chana is one of ours, in other words, he's from our place, and I never heard this from his mouth until today. V'ashmul Didan, and the one that he said in his name was Shmuel, he was also one of ours from our place, V'lishmili, and I never heard this. V'lav Bedina Gevartach, isn't it right now, don't you see that it was a good reason that I forced you to come by taking away your clothing? Because if you wouldn't have came, I would never have learned this important halacha, that the version of our Mishnah is wrong, and that it's supposed to be that Machzirin, and that not a Machzirin. Now we continue with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Misha Nifrika Yadoi Bechulu, that one that had a bone dislocated, his hand or his foot is dislocated, he's not allowed to go ahead and then rub it vigorously with something cold as it's normally done, but rather you could wash regularly, and then if it happens on its own, then one is allowed to. So the Gemara brings a story there of Rav Avya Haba Yosef Kamed Rav Yosef. Once Rav Avya was in front of Rav Yosef, Shanyile Yadoi, something happened to change his hand, that is, it moved from its proper place, it got moved out of its place, it was dislocated. So Amalei, Hachimai, says, what about this? Am I allowed to do this to help it on Shabbos? He says, Aser. He says, V'Hachimai, how about this? Amalei Aser, he said, that's also Aser. In other words, he kept on doing different ways of moving it to go ahead and to heal it and ask him, is this permitted to do on Shabbos? Is that permitted to do? Adahochi Itvach Yodei. So during that process, his hand was healed. So Amalei Maiti Balach says, what was your question? What are you asking me if you're allowed to do these types of procedures on Shabbos? So it's now we learned in our Mishnah. Misha Nifrika Yodoi Iragli, if someone had that his hand or his foot that got dislocated on Shabbos, Lo Yitar from Mitzonis, now I'll go ahead and rub it vigorously on Shabbos with something cold. So Aval Rechetz Kedarka, rather our Mishnah says you could go ahead and bathe it normally, Nisrapim, it gets healed through that normal way, the way normal people do it, and it's not obvious that you're doing for a therapeutic process, then it would be permitted. But all these things you're asking me, obviously it's Aser, it's in our Mishnah, why'd you ask? So he responded to him, the reason why it wasn't so obvious to me from our Mishnah was because Amalei said to him, V'leiknan, didn't we learn also in our Mishnah, which we just discussed on the previous Gemara, Ei Machzir Nes Hasheva, although it says in our Mishnah, one is not allowed to return the bone that was dislocated. V'amar Rav Chanan Bag Disar, Amar Shmuel, Halocha Machzir Nes Hasheva, that one could return the bone to its place where it's supposed to be, which is not the way it's quoted in our Mishnah. And therefore I thought, just like that part of the Mishnah, our version is incorrect. Here also the version is incorrect, and that's why I asked you, can I do this, can I do that? So Amalei, so he responded back to him, Kula b'chadu mechita mechtesinu, do you go ahead and you weave it with one type of weaving? Do you, hechide itma, where it was said that our Mishnah was incorrect, and that it was supposed to be a different version that you could return it, that's where it was said, hechide itma, where it wasn't said, and therefore it retains the status of how it's written in our Mishnah, which was that it's usur to go ahead and to return the foot or the arm that was dislocated. And therefore, it was only there by the shever where we have the joint that was the bone that's out of the joint. There we said that it's mutter, that's, we said in the name of Shmuel, that's the correct version. But don't say because one part of the Mishnah was incorrect, so the whole Mishnah you think is incorrect. It's not true. Therefore, I told you that they're all Oster because, again, it was only there in that one case of shever that we said that one is allowed to return it, but not by the case of Nifrika Yadeh where his hand or his foot was dislocated. Hanu l'chavis, we shall return to you, Perek Chavis and Masechta Shabbos, the 22nd. Perek Masechta Shabbos. Now we begin the 23rd Perek Masechta Shabbos, Perek Shoyel. So our Mishnah and a large chunk of our Perek is going to be talking about Mimtzei Chavtzecha, that it says in the Pasuk in Nach that one cannot go ahead and be busy on Shabbos with pursuing his own desires, his own needs, business types of things, things which are not Shabbosic. And if our Mishnah begins talking about Mekech and Memcha, doing business types of dealings on Shabbos, which are forbidden. Our Mishnah begins. Shoyel Adam Mechaveri Kadayayin Bekadishem. A person is allowed to borrow from his friend barrels of wine or barrels of oils on Shabbos. However, Ubevachelo Yemele Halvina, as long as he doesn't tell him that term of Halvini, of lend me in the term of Halva, which the Gemara is going to explain what's wrong when you say Halvini, what's wrong with lending something even when you say Halvini on Shabbos. The same thing applies to a woman borrowing from her friend loaves of bread. Again, you could borrow, but don't use the term of halva, because that would be asur. The main amin, if his friend doesn't believe him that he's going to pay it back, so therefore what can you do? So you leave your cloak there as collateral on Shabbos, and then he'll make a calculation with him after Shabbos, and then he'll pay him up. So again, you're allowed to borrow, but although he's not sure you're going to pay him back, so therefore you leave your cloak as collateral. Same thing applies to if Erev Pesach in Yerushalayim falls out on Shabbos, and that is the Karban Pesach is brought on Yud Dalet, which is Erev Pesach. Now, if that was on Shabbos and he forgot to buy his Karban Pesach from before Shabbos, what are you going to do? You come to the person that's selling the animals, you can't pay him, it's Shabbos, see, but you want to get your animals to be able to shecht it, to slaughter it for your Pesach that's coming up on Matzah Shabbos that night. You leave your cloak there, it's collateral, and then you can take your carbon Pesach. But then he makes a calculation with him after Yom Tov again, which will be on Monday, because Shabbos was Erev Pesach and Sunday is Pesach. Then after you make a calculation with him, how much you owe him, and then he'll give you back your cloak. Now Gemara explains this halacha. What was it that's forbidden to do? Although you're allowed to borrow, you can't say halvini. Omli Rava Bar Rav Chanan Labaya. And the Gemara is going to bring many statements from Rava Bar Rav Chanan telling Abaya, what is the difference that to say to someone, I want to borrow in the term of she'ela, that's permitted. And what's the difference when you say, I want to borrow in the terminology of halva, of lending it to me, that's aser. So he says the difference is, if someone tells his friend, give me a she'ela, I want to borrow from you, that the person that he's borrowing from is not going to write it down to remember. However, halvini asl mechtav, but if you say halva, I want to loan from you this item, then he's going to come to write it down. And that is because halva is always mashma, a long period of time. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Makos, that a stam halva, when the person just says a loan without specifying exactly how long, that's 30 days. So therefore the malva, the lender, is going to come to write on his ledger, this is how much I loaned this person, so that he shouldn't forget. And therefore, only when you do a she'ela, which, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you'll give it back, fine. He's not going to come to write it. When you say halva, so he's starting, your bells are already going off in his head, that this is going to be a long time, I'm going to forget. And therefore he might come to write, and therefore we're not allowed to do that because you're not allowed to do ksiv on Shabbos. But then the Gemara asks, for kivin the b'chayel, but since during the weekday, if such a situation would come up, in truth, he really would intend, let's say, he wants to tell him, give me a halva loan, because he wants to take it for a long time. Sometimes he'll forget to say the term halva, and he'll say the term a she'ela, and he won't be particular about it. That is, it will be a halva. The one that he's borrowing from won't think, oh, he told me he wants to be shoyel from me, he wants to borrow. It means he's giving it back in a few days. No, he'll know that really he intends to take it for a long time. And therefore, during the weekdays, when someone says, I want to be shoyel from you, I want to borrow from you, the person will come to write it down because they'll know that really the person really wants to borrow it for a long time, and he meant to say halva. So therefore, b'Shabbos nami, therefore the same thing should apply on Shabbos. Even when the person says, hashilani, lend it to me, in the term of a she'ela, the person that he's borrowing from will think that it's also halva, just people sometimes mix up the terminology, and also the mechtav is still going to come to write. So therefore, what is the difference? What is the special hecker that when you say hashilani, then we say it's mutter, because then the person knows it's just for a short time, versus halva, which is a long time? It's not true, as we see during the weekdays, people sometimes mix it up, and even when they say hashilani, the person doesn't say, oh, you just wanted it for a few days. He knows that a person really meant it to be for a long time as halva, and therefore on Shabbos, both of them should be also if it were concerned that you might come to write it. So Amalei said to him, no, there's a difference between the weekday and Shabbos. As b'chol, during the weekday, where there is no practical difference, no practical ramifications if he says she'ela or halva, and therefore the one that he's borrowing from is not particular about the terminology that he uses, and therefore he's going to come to write it down because whether he said she'el or halva, he probably wants to take it for a long time, and I'm concerned that I might forget, so then he might write it. However, b'Shabbos, kiven the hashileni hu dishar l'rabbanan, since the term of hashileni, of lend me in the term of she'ela, that is the only terminology that the Chazal permitted one to use, halvini lo yishar l'rabbanan, whereas the term halva, the Chazal did not let, again, because of the concern that you might come to write, because avod for sure means for a long time. Minkura milsa v'le'asil l'mechtam. Therefore, it's obvious from the term that he uses, he's using hashilani. The person realizes, why is he using hashilani? Because Chazal didn't let him use halvini. Oh, they didn't let. Why not? Because hashilani is only for a short time, and then it's not going to make a person forget and come to write. Therefore, again, that's why when a person says hashilani, that's why it's mutter, because it's obvious what he's doing it for. And therefore, although during the weekday people are not particular, here there is particularity to it. That the term hashilani will remind the person that it's only for a short time, and he's not going to come to write it. So now the same Amiram, the Gemara quotes a different discussion from them. Amalei Rav Bar of Chanan Labai. Mechti, let's see. Amar Rabban, our Chazal say, Masech Tizbeya, Kol Mili de Yom Tiv, regarding everything that's permitted to do on Yom Tiv, Kama de Efshel Shnui Meshnin, as much as we can change, we change. That is, although we permit certain Malachas, Eichol Nefesh, however, as the Gemara there says, that whoever's bringing barrels of wine, he shouldn't bring it in a basket, he should do it a certain type of Shini, he should do it in as much as in a different way than it's done during the weekday. So then the question is, Hani Noshi de Malyan Chatzvei Mai, regarding these women that they fill up their buckets with water, Mai Tamalu Meshaninen, why don't they change? Why don't they do anything different than the way they do it during the weekday when they're filling it up and carry it back home? So in that he answered to him, Abaye answered, Mishum Dulei Efshar, because it's not possible. What do you want them to do differently? Heichla Abdi. Demalia Mechatzah Rabbah, regarding those women that fill up in a large barrel. So Lamala Mechatzah Zuta, you would want them, let's say, to fill up in small barrels. Hukam Afshar Beluchah, then you can make them go many more times to go get the water that they need, because they used to have larger barrels. Now you're taking smaller, so it's going to take more trips. And therefore, you're making them do more of an effort than it's necessary, which is not something that we want them to be doing. And the Mali B'chatz V'zuta, regarding those that fill up generally with small buckets, L'mal B'chatz Rabbah, so there you want them to fill up with larger buckets, but K'mav Shebimasa, then you're making them take heavier loads, which is also something that we don't want them to be doing on Yom Tov. And therefore, and so the Gemara continues in Amud Beis, Nifris Sudara, so what do you want them to do? So put it just a kerchief over it. Again, some type of a shina to recognize that it's Yom Tov today, it's not weekday activity. Also, they schiti, they might come to squeeze it out because it's going to be on the bucket, it's going to get wet. They might come to squeeze it out, and that's going to make an Isser Daraisa. We don't want that to happen. Nechasi benachtome, when you want them to cover the buckets with a covering, but then Zimna de Mifsik, sometimes what happens is that since you require them to put on the women to put on a cover on the bucket, so they're going to tie it with a string on top of the bucket, and sometimes that string is going to rip. Vasalimikatra, and then she's going to come to tie it, which is going to be a keshel shakayama, a tying that should last, and that's a isadereis again. So we don't want them to tie it. So therefore, he concludes and says hilkach layasha. If it's not possible, what do you want them to do any differently? Yes, if you could, then you do. But here, where it's nothing that we want them to change in that manner, so therefore we don't change when the women carry the water back in their buckets. Another discussion between the same amiram, vamalei ra'ava barav chanan labai. He says that tonight we learn the Mishnah in Beya, Loi Mesapkin, we're not allowed to clap by taking one palm to the other, and that's because of a velus of mourning on Yom Tov. But Loi Metavchin, and you're not allowed to clap on the one on person's heart. Veloi Merakin, you're not allowed to dance for rejoicing, as the Gemara over there says in Mesapkin's Beya, because then you might be Mesapkin, you might fix Klisher, you might come to fix an instrument. But Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do these things on Yom Tov. Now the question he asked him was, V'kochazin and da'avdim lemri lemamidi. We see that people do these things. They dance, and they clap, and they bang on their chests, and we don't tell them anything. This is an issur that says in the Mishnah Masechet Tizbeya. Why don't we tell them? Why don't we give musar? So he responded to him, and according to your reasoning, that we should correct people by doing things that they do wrong. But Hadam, a rabbi, this rabbi said, that a person should not sit by the entryway of the lechi, of the side post, which is between the Mavui and the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. And the reason why is because it's not recognizable where you're sitting. Because since you're by the edge of that side post, to differentiate what's part of the Mavui, what's part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, the public domain, you shouldn't sit there. Dilma Magandule Chavetz, because maybe an object might roll to you. Vosletu, you might come to carry it, the object that's rolling into the Dalet Ames, and you're not going to know where you are actually to differentiate between the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah and the Mavui. We see the women that they do sit on the buckets, and they go ahead and they sit on the entry. We have the mavi, and there we don't tell them anything. That's also an explicit halacha of Rabbah that's us to do. Why don't we tell them? Ella hanach liYisrael, rather leave the Jewish people. Better that they be inadvertent sinners and that they don't be willful sinners. In other words, what he was telling him regarding the dancing on Yom Tov, regarding the halacha of Rava of sitting by the mavoi, is that they're not going to listen anyway. So therefore, we'd rather prefer them be a shogeg that they don't really know that this is wrong and be unintentional than if we tell them, then they're going to be intentional sinners. So the Gemara says, Savamina, he thought when he heard this answer from Abaya, that Hanimila b'drabbanan, that this was only if the Jewish people, whoever they are being over on the Issa d'rabbanan, which are these cases that Chazal said, not to dance, not to sit by the entryway of the Mavi, because you might come to be over on the Issa d'raisa, but that was the Issa d'rabbanan that they're being over on. But if a Jew is being over on a d'raisa, a biblical commandment, then for sure we don't just stand back and let them be a shaker. We tell them that they're doing something wrong. So the Gemara says, "Well, here that's not true. Loishnum derabanan, loishnum derayso. It doesn't make a difference if they're transgressing a rabbinic or a biblical commandment. Rather, you always say hanach, leave them, so that they rather be yishlag and not amazed. The hotaysefis the yemekipurim derayso, because we have the halacha of hotaysefis yemekipurim, which is adding on time of Kippur before the actual sundown. That is, you have to add on time of during the day to make it part of Yom Kippur, which is a derayso." Although this is learned from Sukkim, we see that people, that they eat and drink until it gets literally dark that minute, and they don't add on any time from before Yom Kippur. We don't tell them anything, so we see that even when it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, that people are being over, since they're not going to listen, rather let them be a shagig than be amazed. Now the Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah. It says, same thing applies when a woman is borrowing from a friend a loaf of bread. Again, you can borrow on Shabbos, but don't say halvini, again, because that's going to be a loan for a long time, and then her friend neighbor might come to write down that she loaned her this amount of bread. So the Gemara makes a dik. It infers b'Shabbos hu da'asa. We're telling you that what are you not allowed to do on Shabbos? You're not allowed to borrow and say halvini because she might come to write it. But to do this during the weekday, it's proper to go ahead and say, Halvini, lend me these loaves of bread. And what is it obvious? That we're not concerned about ribis of taking interest, that although you're using the terminology of hava, which is a loan, still we're not concerned. So lemi masnit in the lake hill. Let's say our Mishnah is not like hill. It's not like we learned in the Mishnah about Metzia. So too hill would say, Loitalvi isha kikul chaverta. A woman should not loan her friend a loaf of bread, even during the weekday. And the reason is, Asha to send a dama till you make it, assessing it with a certain amount of money, not that she should give back the actual product, but to give back the money that she was loaned, Shema Yukuchidin, because we're concerned that maybe the price of wheat will go up. Vinimtsu boy, so they ribbons, and it'll come to a situation of interest. And that is, if let's say she lends her a loaf of bread that's worth $1. Then she's going to return it in 2 weeks. And by that time, the loaf of bread went up because wheat went up. Now it's worth $1.25. When she gives her back the loaf of bread, she's giving her back an extra 25 cents. And therefore, that's the element of ribbis according to Hill. Whereas he says, if you say, you're giving me a loaf of bread worth $1, I'm going to give you back $1, that's not ribbis. She's giving her back the same amount of money that she took from her. So therefore, let's say that our Mishnah is not like Hill, because our Mishnah says that only Halvini, you now take a loan of bread on Shabbos, but during the week that you could. Yet, according to Hill, that's a situation that might come to a situation of ribis, which is awesome. And then the Gemara says, "A filotem Hill, you could say that our Mishnah is even like Hill, because ha, our Mishnah, but after the kids domeh, we're talking about a place where the price of the wheat has a set amount of money, and therefore you're not going to come to ribis, because even if the price goes up, she's going to give her back that money. But ha, the case of Hill was but after the like kids domeh, in a place where the price was not set, and therefore again, if you take the loaf of bread and you give back a loaf of bread, it's going to be, let's say, a quarter more, then you might come to be over on the Isser of ribis." That's why Hill said it's Asa, but our Mishnah is even like Hill, because it's talking about that the money is set, and therefore she will give it back the amount of money that she took from her. So then the Mishnah said, Vim Einam Amina. And if, let's say, he doesn't believe in both regarding the woman or regarding the person that wants to borrow barrels of wine or oil from his friend, so he doesn't believe him, so then you leave your cloak as collateral, and then you, after Shabbos, you go ahead and make a cheshbon, make a calculation how much he owes him for the barrels of wine. Sayyidma, we learned regarding this halacha, halvas yamtim, regarding this loan that is being done on Yom Tov, we have a machlokes. Rabbi Yosef Amar Lo Nitna LeTava, it's not given over to demand it in Beis Din, in court, because Beis Din will not officiate regarding this halacha. In other words, they're not going to require the person to pay back that loan that's done. Rabbi Amar Nitna LeTava, Rabbi says, no, of course, it's a regular full-fledged loan, although it's being done on Yom Tov, and we're not writing contracts, but the point is, the person has the collateral, and they did the loan. Therefore, yes, you could come to Bez and say he borrowed from me this amount of money, of the barrels of wine and oil, and therefore he has to pay up. And the Gemara explains the opinions. Rav Yosef Amar Lo Nitna LeTava says, this loan cannot be something that could be mandated to be paid through Bez. Di Amar Nitna LeTava, because if you say that this is something that will be able to be gotten through Beis Din, Asir L'michtav, then you might come to write it down, because you see it's a full-fledged loan, I could get my money if I go to Beis Din, therefore I want to write it down so I can remember, because if you can get it, you might come to write it. But Rav Yosef says, since that idea is now we're saying that you cannot get it through Bezin. So the person's not going to write it because what's the point anyway? I won't be able to enforce it anyway. So let me not write it. And that's why we don't let you get it through Bezin. Because if you do, then you might come to write it to be able to enforce getting your money back. However, Rabbi says a svara to the contrary, that you could get your money back. And the reason is, because if you say that you cannot enforce to get your money back through Bezin, so he's never going to give it to him in the first place. He's going to hold back the person that needs the barrels of wine and the barrels of oil for his Simchas Yomtiv because no one's going to give it to him. What do I mean? I'm going to loan you these barrels. What am I going to do? I can't get my money back anyway if I go to court. So therefore, Rabbi says, definitely you could get it back because or else the people are never going to lend to anyone else and no one's going to have Simchas Yomtiv. So now the Gemara says, we learned in our Mishnah. If he doesn't believe him, manich talisa etzloi, so he leaves his cloak to him. So now the Gemara says, if you say like Rav Yosef that this is type of a loan that you can't enforce to get through Bezdin, so therefore I understand the case of our Mishnah that says, so that this person, he leaves his cloak by him, he makes a calculation with him after Shabbos, so that because, how am I going to get my money back? Leave me your cloak, I'll have some collateral, or else I have no way of getting my money back. But if you say like Rabbah that you could get your money back through Bezdin, so why does he have to leave his cloak with him? Let him give him the money and then or the barrels of wine or whatever it is on Yom Tov, and then he'll demand it back from him when he goes to Bezdin after Yom Tov. And if it's difficult going to Rabbah that says you could be Tevei and Bezdin, if that's the case, why does this person have to leave his cloak? And that the Gemara says Omar loy beina delekim medina v'dayana says I prefer not to go through the process of judgment and judges. In other words, yes, of course I can go ahead and go through Bezin, but I don't want you. I want you to leave your cloak over here because I don't want to have to go through the whole effort of going to court and losing time and effort and money, whatever it is, and to go through the challenges and difficulty. So therefore, it's not a question on Rabbah. Masa Rav Yidbar Oven, however, Rav Yidbar Oven asked from a Mishnah in Masech Tashvias. We're going to tashshech it as a par, someone that slaughters a cow, v'chilke b'Rosh Hashanah, and then he apportions it on Rosh Hashanah. And there's a few different components that's important up here. One is that we're talking about Matzah Shviyas, the year ends on Rosh Hashanah, and then begins the new year. So we're talking about the first Rosh Hashanah right after the year of Shemitah. And we're talking about that he's giving it to a lekeach, to those who bought it, and b'hakafah, that it's on credit. And also, a fourth important idea is that Shviyas, the year of Shemitah, is Meshamet. It declares nullified and void all loans and all money that's owed at the end of the year, as it says, Miketz. So with that in mind, the Mishnah in Shviyas says, if it was a full month, if the month of El, which was the last month in the previous year of Shemitah, was a full month, and therefore they made Rosh Hashanah 2 days, then Meshamet, then that Chayiv, of the first day of Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, which now ultimately, whenever there's a 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, which in this case is Rosh Hashanah, the month of Tishrei, one the first day is really the last day of the previous month, and the second day is really the first day of the new month. So therefore, the first day of Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah was really, in a sense, the end of Shemitah, and therefore it comes out that it was a loan of Shviyas of Shemitah, and as we said, that is Meshamet because that's going to be a halva of Shviyas, not of Matzah Shviyas. And therefore, as we said, that the Shemitah happens towards the end, the last second before the new year begins. And therefore, again, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be Meshamet. Havim Lav, if it wasn't 2 days, it wasn't a full month of El, rather there was only 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, then Ein Meshamet, then it's not going to be Meshamet because it comes out that that loan was not on Shemitah, it was Matzah Shviyas, it was already into the new year, which is not Shemitah, and therefore that won't be Meshamet. So now the Gemara develops its proof. V'iloi nitna li tava, and if Yom Tov Bechlal is never given over to demand your money back from Bezin, as Rav Yosef's opinion is. So the question is, my Meshamet, what does it mean that it's going to be Meshameted? In other words, since Bezin is not going to be involved at all with this loan, so that's already, it's already Meshamet from the beginning. It never starts to be owed to have to be go ahead and be Meshameted. So what are we saying? That it depends on if there's 2 days Rosh Hashanah or 1 day Rosh Hashanah, that if there's 2 days Rosh Hashanah, then the first day is part of the last year, as we said, that it's Meshameted towards the end. And therefore, whoever he loaned this animal that he portioned on the first day Rosh Hashanah on credit, they don't owe him any more money. But if there's only 1 day Rosh Hashanah, so that 1 day is from the new year, and therefore that it won't be Meshameted. What are you talking about Meshameted? It's on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. And Yom Tov, Rav Yosef says, you can never demand your money back from Bezin anyway. So the whole concept of Shemitah is my ability to be able to demand the money that's owed to me. And after Shemitah, you can't do that anymore. Here on Yom Tov, you can never do it anyway. So what is the discussion according to Rav Yosef? And that the Gemara says, Shani Hasim, there it's different. Regarding the Mishnah in Masech Tashvi'is, the Gloy Milsa Dechailu, because it's retroactively revealed that it's really a weekday, because since it's a Chodesh Me'ubah, it's a full month of El, so that first day of Yom Tov, of Rosh Hashanah, wasn't really a Yom Tov until the following day, because the first day was really the last day of the previous month of El. And therefore, if not for Shemitah, then you would be able to demand and get your money, because it's really, in a sense, not a day of Yom Tov, because it's really weekday. It's only the day of the following month, which is Tishrei, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, that's actually Yom Tov. And that's why you have to say this component, this idea, that's only because we view it as part of the previous year of Shemitah year, that you can't go ahead and get your money back. But if not for that idea, then the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you would be able to go get your money back, because not truth Yom Tov, it's really a weekday day, it's really the last day of El. So the Gemara tries to bring a different proof from that same Mishnah. Toshma Misefer, from the Sefer of that Mishnah. We said, Imlav, if it's not a full month, if it was just one day Rosh Hashanah, which was Aleph Tishrei, Einam Hashamed, then it will not nullify the Chayiv, again, because it's not part of the Shemitah year, it's already part of Aleph Tishrei, which is the new year. So the question is, Iyamid Bishlam and Litava, if you say like Rabba, that you can go ahead and demand your chayvis in Bezdin that were loaned on Yom Tov. So that makes sense when it says that this Aleph Tishrei will not be nullified and void. What does it mean it's not nullified and void? That I can go ahead and demand my money back from Bezdin. Because yes, even if a loan that's done on Yom Tov, according to Rabba, you can go ahead and demand it back from Bezdin. But if you say that you cannot go ahead and demand your money back, according to Rabbi Yosef, by a loan that's done on Yom Tov, what does it mean it's not Mishamed? Of course it's Mishamed. What do you mean? Mishamed sounds like you have something, and then whether you can go ahead and demand it or not. Here, you can never demand in the first place. So what does it mean that it's not Mishamed, that you can still go ahead and get it? You can't go do anything anyway, because Bez is not going to listen to you, because the loan was done on Yom Tov. And that the Gemara answers, that's not difficult according to Rabbi Yosef. Because what we're telling you is that if the nitfa, if the one that's the bal chayv, the one that's the debtor, gives to the creditor, then he's allowed to take it. And that's what we're saying. Yes, you cannot go ahead and demand it in Bezdin, but it is something that's being owed. It wasn't Mishamed, it's not part of the Shemitah year. And therefore, if he gives it back to him, he's allowed to take it. To which the Gemara asks, Mechlav de Reishos, that could be inferred that the first case, which was talking about that when there is 2 days, and it's on the first day, and that means that it was part of the Shemitah year, which we said that is Mishamed, that he doesn't have to give the money, Iyav Leilei Shakel, that if he gives it to him, he's not allowed to take it. And that is, why can't you take money that's really owed to him in spite of the halacha of Shemitah, but if he gives it to him, what's wrong? And that the Gemara says, no, Reisha, the first part of that Mishnah, which is talking about a loan that actually took Banan Shemitah, as we said, because the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the last day of El, which is part of the Shemitah year, even if the borrower gives him money, Tzarech, so then the Malva, Lamei Malei, has to tell to the loiver, to the borrower, Mishamad, and he has to say the phrases, I am nullifying it. I give it, and it's not something that you have to give to me. However, the Sefer, that's the Chiddush, what we're saying, that it's not Mishamet, is that both of them, you can't demand your money back. And both of them, the person could give you the money either way. So what's the difference if it's Mishamet or not? If anyways it's Alva and Yom Tov and you can't demand your money back. The difference is that the case of the Reish is talking about that you have to tell him when he gives it back to you, since it took place on Shemitah, that Mishamed Ani, it's null, don't worry, you don't have to give it back. And then if he insists, then you could take it back. However, the Sefer, which was taking place not on the Shemitah year, but it was on Hava and Yom Tov, then if he wants to give it back to you, you do not have to say Mishamed Ani, you don't have to say that it's nullified, you could just take it. As we learned in the Mishnah in Shvi, it says as follows. Hamachzer Chayv B'Shvi, so someone returns a loan, something that is owed on the Shemitah year, Yoyim Eloi Mishamed Ani, he has to tell him, I give it in. It's not something that I'm makbid about. I'm not particular. It's nullified. You don't really have to give it to me. And if the loiver tells him, if the borrower says, I don't care, in spite of that, I don't want that it should be mishamed, I want to give it back to you what I owe you, you come in and then you accept from him, like it says the pasuk in Devarim, that tells us that you actually have to say this phrase, that I'm mishamed, it says, this is the idea, the concept of the Shemitah. However, it uses the term Devar, that it tells that even if you're going to accept your chayv that's owed to you, but you have to mention the word Shemitah in your words, because that Devar HaShemitah, these are the words of Shemitah, you have to say, I'm a Shemitah, and therefore it's not difficult according to Rav Yosef, because although in both cases, whether it's Shemitah or Yom Tov, whether it's 1 day Rosh Hashanah or 2 days Rosh Hashanah, you can't go ahead and demand it in Bezdin. The difference is when he comes to give it to you, if it was in Shemitah, then we're saying Then we said that it is going to be Mishamet, and that is means you have to actually say Mishamet Ani when it's taking place on one day Yom Tov, although you can't demand it. When he gives it to you, you don't have to say anything about Amishamet because it's not taking place on Shemitah, it's only taking place on Yom Tov. So now the Gemara continues, Rav Avya Shokol Mashkoina, that regarding this halacha that we said, Halva on Yom Tov, so Rav Avya, he would take collateral during the time of the loan, on the loan of Yom Tov, because again, he didn't want to be stuck in this type of situation that he wouldn't be able to get his money back. Rabbi Bar Ula Marmarumi. Rabbi Ula, he would do something a little bit crafty, that after Yom Tov, he would go ahead and take his object from that person and hold on to that person's objects. As Tosfos tells that, although that Rabbi says that you can go ahead and demand your money back in Bezdin, and Halacha does follow Rabbi when he argues with Rabbi Yosef, however, if Avi and Rabbi Bar Ula, they were machmar themselves, and they were noig like Rabbi Yosef, who he held that you cannot go ahead and demand it from Bezdin. So although the halacha follows you could, they were noig l'churma like Rabbi Yosef, and therefore they would do other types of ways to make sure that they didn't get stuck with the loan that they would do on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara continues to explain that Mishnah. It says, V'chein Erev Pesach, so too when Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, falls out on Shabbos, where you didn't buy your carbon Pesach beforehand, but you have to slaughter it that day. So you do the same thing, you leave your cloak, and then you make a calculation after Yom Tov. So regarding this, there's a topic that comes up. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Makdish Odom Pischa B'Shabbos. A person could sanctify his carbon Pesach on Shabbos if the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbos. Now you have a regular, mundane choyl animal. You have to first be Mekadosh it, sanctify it, and then you could slaughter it. So you could do that on Shabbos. The Chagigah of Yom Tov, similarly, you could be Mekadosh your carbon Chagigah on Yom Tov. That is, on the day that you're coming to sacrifice it, it's mutter to be Mekadosh it and sanctify it. And although we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Beya that these are Isuri Shvus, that are Isuri Drabbanon, that you're not allowed to be Mekadosh something on Shabbos, here, since the hakrava, the sacrificing of these animals, are deiches Shabbos, so therefore the kedushas and their sanctification is also deiches Shabbos. Although midrabban you're not allowed to do it here in this case, you're allowed to be mekadosh it since you're allowed to be makrivit on this day also. And that the Gemara says, Neim Masayeli, let's bring a raya to this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah. We said, V'chein Erev Pesach b'Yerushalayim shechalis b'Shabbos. So too, when Erev Pesach in Yerushalayim falls out on Shabbos, Menich Talisa etzlei b'noit les Pesach. So he takes his talis, he leaves it by him, and then he takes his carbon Pesach. So obviously, once you take your carbon Pesach on Shabbos, as the 14th of Nisan, you have to then go ahead and be mekadosh it, and then you could slaughter it. V'oisa mecheshman achi Yom Tov, then you make a cheshman, a calculation with him after Yom Tov. So obviously, it's a right to Rabbi Yochanan that you're allowed to be mekadosh the carbon Pesach on Shabbos because this is the first time that you're buying it. So it's a regular mundane animal. You have to sanctify it. And today is Shabbos, Erev Pesach. So you see, could be Mekadosh, you're coming Pesach on Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, no. Hachamai skin, and here that we're talking about is B'mamana Achirim Imoy. We're including others into your carbon Pesach, as the Pasuk in Shmos Yud Beis tells us, B'michsas Nefashas, with the amount of people that many people could be involved in one carbon Pesach. So you're including them Al Pischai on his carbon Pesach, which was already sanctified from before Shabbos. And therefore, the Mikar Mikdash V'Koy is already sanctified from before, and therefore you're not being Mekadosh on Shabbos. Here where it says in our Mishnah, where someone wants to have your Karban Pesach and he leaves his cloak, it means he wants to be part of your Karban Pesach. He wants to be part of the numbers. Therefore, it was already Kaddish and he just wants to have a part of that. That you could do, and therefore it's not a riot to Rabbi Yechanan. But that the Gemara asks, well, not to none, but we learn in the Mishnah Masechet is Beya. You're not allowed to go ahead and add another person on the behemoth initially on Yom Tov, and therefore how can you say that it's talking about in our Mishnah that okay, you're taking care of the problem of being Mekadosh on Shabbos, but the problem is you're saying that you're including him in it, but you're not allowed to include another person on the number of people that's going to be included in the carbon on Yom Tov. So how could you say that's the case? And that the Gemara says, no, Shani Hacha Kivin the Rogaletzlei. Here it's different. It's not like a regular being Memana person, which would be us to do on Yom Tov initially. Here we're talking about someone that he's the regular guy. We have our group that always does it. So Kamandi Imni Be Me'akardim. It's as if he was already counted from before Yom Tov because we knew he's the regular. He just didn't come over and tell me. And he comes on Erev Pesach and says, hey, I want to be part of it as usual. I'm just reminding you. That could be done. That's not a problem. That's not really like being Memana on Yom Tov, on Shabbos. But however, the Gemara asks from a different source, V'atani Rav Hoishia, Hoilach Odom Eitzel Roya HaRogaletzlei. Rav Hoishia says, he learned that a person could go to the regular shepherd that he always goes to every year, V'noisen Loi Tlele Pischei, and they could give him his sheep for his carbon Pesach, U'makdish Tov Yoseboi, and he could sanctify it and go out and use it, although it's Shabbos, that's Erev Pesach. So you see that you could be Mekadosh, seems to be a raya that you could do it on Shabbos. And then he says, no, Hasim Nami, Kivin the Rogaletzloi, there also, since he's already accustomed to him, Akdusha Le Mekara, it's already sanctified from before Shabbos, that is the Raya, the shepherd from before Shabbos, he knows this person always comes to him, so he leaves one, you know, under the table ready for this person. So he's already mekadesh it, and therefore, again, that's no problem of like being memano or being mekadesh on Shabbos. That's not a problem because it already is already considered in some level that it's already mekadesh. To which the Gemara asks, but v'hamakdish k'toni, what do you mean? Read the words that he says. Rabbi Yishai says, u'makdisha v'yotzeba, that he can go ahead and sanctify it. So how are you saying that it's a regular shepherd that he goes to every year who already sanctified it for him, when we're saying that the person that's buying it is sanctifying it today on Shabbos Erev Pesach? And then the Gemara says, no, that hektish ilu midrabbanan, that's just an extra special level of hektish, which is only rabbinic. A certain mile of the Chazal said that the owner should be mekadesh and he should sanctify it. But really, intrinsically, it's already mekudesh, and therefore there's no problem about doing it. It's just an extra level that you're doing it, similar to like just ceremonial or ritually that the person we want, that Chazal said that the person, the owner himself, should be mekadesh, but you're not really creating the kedusha. But then the Gemara asks, b'chlal on this halach of Reb Yochanan, that you're allowed to be mekadesh on Shabbos, the animal. U'miyam Reb Yochanan hachi, did Reb Yochanan really say this, that you can mekadesh an animal on Shabbos? We know Rabbi Yochanan always says the halacha is like an unauthored Mishnah that doesn't say who the author is, that the halacha is like that Mishnah. But now we learn the Mishnah Pesachim that doesn't say who the author is. It says, loy makdishin, we're not allowed to go ahead and sanctify an animal. Similarly, v'loy marichin, you're not allowed to do erichin. V'loy machrimin, you're allowed to do charamin, which are different types of hektish. V'loy makbin, trumas and maises, you're not allowed to take off trumas and maises. All these things are forbidden, we said, are on Yom Tov. And Kavachayim B'Shabbos, definitely not do it on Shabbos. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say that you're allowed to be Mekadosh, an animal on Shabbos, when we have a Mishnah explicitly in Pesachim that has no author that says that you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos? And the Gemara says, Lekasha. Kan over here, Rabbi Yochanan says that you're allowed to be Mekadosh, the animal on Shabbos, is B'chayvish Shekevu Lenzman. It's talking about things that are obligatory, that have a designated time when you're supposed to do it, as we're talking about a Karm Pesach, Karm Chagiga. These are things that have to be brought now on Pesach. Kan over here in the Mishnah, in Pesachim, that says that you're not allowed to be Mekadosh an animal on Shabbos, or B'chayvish She'inkevu Lenzman, were obligatory karbonis, but that don't have an exact time when it has to be brought. And therefore, their hakrava, their sacrificing them, are not Teicha Shabbos. So therefore, their Kedusha is also not Teicha Shabbos, because since you can't bring it today, because it doesn't have to be brought today, so you can't bring it on Shabbos Yom Tov, you can bring it Sunday, Monday, whenever it is. So too, their Kedusha is not, and that's why it's not contradictory. He taka paskins like the Stam Mishnah, but that's talking about that it does not have a designated time, whereas here he's talking about a Karban Pesach Chagiga, which has a designated time. Now we continue with the next mission. Again, talking about the same topic of mitzvah chetzicha, of doing your own personal things at Shabbat, which are forbidden. The mission begins. Mayna adam es archav. A person can count the guests that he's having for Shabbos, ves papiroisav, and the different types of delicacies that he's going to be serving on the menu. But mipiv, only orally, by heart. But he cannot be reading it from a paper. That is, if he wrote from before Shabbos, this is the amount of guests I'm going to have, these are the types of people that are invited. He did that so he shouldn't forget. He's not allowed to read from that writing on Shabbos, and the Gemara doesn't explain what's the reason. Why can't you read from the guest list or from the menu on Shabbos? A person could do lots. He could cast lots for the people that are, for his household, for his sons and daughters that are by him on the table, to say who gets what piece of meat or what piece of the cake that people want to get. So he says, okay, I'm going to make a gairel. Whoever gets is going to get this piece. As long as you're not intending to make a contrast of who's going to get the big piece versus who's going to get the small piece. That is, the idea is that they should be equal. And that not that there should be a big piece and then the smaller piece, that whoever wins the lottery, then he's going to get the big one. Whoever is going to lose is going to get the small piece. And this is going to explain what's the difference, why you're allowed to cast lots. But when it comes to contrast the big piece to the small piece, that's awesome. And then the Mishnah says, it concludes with matil and chaloshin, and we could cast lots ala kachim, regarding kachim that is between the kahanim that are splitting up the kachim, but yamtiv and yamtiv, avaloy ala monas, but not on the portions. And the Gemara explain exactly what does that mean, that you could split the kachim, but that you cannot split the portions. What is the difference? What does that mean?